Welcome to the Strong Girl Podcast, a podcast for and about strong women and how they overcame the things that once made them feel weak. Join me, your host, Samantha Russo, as I discuss everything from mindset to physical health with guests that will surely inspire and motivate you. There will be laughs, there will be tears, and maybe a few F-bombs, but more importantly, lessons to learn to help you grow and embrace your strong girl. All right. Thank you so much for joining me again back here on the Strong Girl Podcast. I'm super excited to introduce you to my next guest, Stephanie Creditio. She is the CEO of Socially Steph. She graduated from Elmhurst College with a degree in communications, and she's worked as a social media creative strategist for global brands and in the advertising industry. And for years, she really chased down her agency career in Chi-Town. She's a big Blackhawks fan. To then being the complete social media team in corporate land for LK Manufacturing. So one day she decided she needed to change and she quit her corporate job. Socially Steph was born to best serve your social media business needs. Socially Steph helps individuals and small businesses shine brighter on social media by delivering real-time marketing efforts and quality content management services. And on top of all of that, Stephanie was a competitive gymnast for 12 years. She's a group fitness instructor and even created Elevate Workout, a group fitness class built to bring you a positive mind and life. Stephanie and I actually met via social media, which is kind of funny because we both have a love for fitness and building up other women and obviously social media. So I'm so excited to have her on the podcast today. And there really is so much that we can talk about because we seriously have a ton in common. I feel like I found like my other part. Yeah, like on social media randomly. But I'd love to start off with your baby, Socially Steph. You launched it this year. So first of all, congratulations with that. And second of all, I'm really interested to know the types of things you're doing right now for clients.
Awesome. You know what, Samantha, thank you so much for that amazing intro, I have to say. You gave me some chills.
Oh.
So it's truly a blessing to be a guest on your podcast, so I thank you again for that as well. Socially Steph was actually originally supposed to be a blog. I launched the website back in 2017. I was on a vacation, decided that, you know what, I am a big lover of life and I love writing. So I wanted to really document things and be able to share it out to the world. And I think personally that I do some pretty fun things, or at least I make everything I do try to be somewhat fun. So I started Socially Steph really intended to be a blog. Well, I launched that 2017. I also started my corporate job, first hire at LK, which first hire of 98 years of business for them. So I was really able to go in there and kind of lead the way and build up their social media strategy. After really accomplishing all that I felt that I had wanted to really do with that brand, I knew that long term I didn't want to stay in corporate. And so after you are in a bunch of meetings with people celebrating 10-year anniversaries, 20-year anniversaries, it kind of made me want to run and bolt out the door.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that, right? You know, everyone has their dreams and passions in life, and I don't degrade anybody who wants to climb the corporate ladder at all. But I knew that it wasn't really my path. So it just was kind of like a gut feeling, I guess you can call it. And one day I said, this is it. Amongst other feelings and things that were going on, I knew it was the best route for me to go. So I actually quit my corporate job, made the big, bold decision with nothing lined up. So sorry, Mom, if you ever listen to this, I did not take her advice. My mom always told me, she's like, never quit anything unless you have something lined up.
Yep.
Now, I've quit other jobs, nothing lined up, because here's the thing, if you have enough confidence in yourself and you believe in yourself enough, you can get the next best thing. And so I always knew that. You know what I mean? I knew that I was an expert in what I was doing. I knew that there's so many opportunities in the world, and when you open your mind up to that, you just know that nothing's really holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
So left that, and Samantha, actually, you know, still, like, even as someone who really prides himself on going after things and being bold and courageous, I still had some self-doubt. Right after I quit, I was like, oh my gosh, did I make the wrong decision? You know, I'm going to start hopping on interviews. And I was interviewing for, you know, again, some awesome and fun brands like Hyatt and some really fun consumer brands that I thought would have been a blast, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, every time I jumped on an interview, I would get on the phone and I would have that gut feeling again. And it was just this feeling of, wait, Stephanie, you do not want to do that, though, really. Like, yes, the salary sounds enticing, benefits, you get the whole thing, right? But long-term, is that really what I wanted? No. So I knew that there was something else for me. So I stopped interviewing. I'm like, I'm done, you know, with taking phone calls, emails, and spending my time on that. And one day, literally, I just gave it a shot. I went to a real estate agency and did a presentation. And no joke, they were announcing on the speaker, socially stuff is going to be presenting in like 10 minutes. And I just started laughing and out loud, you know, like, because I come in and I'm very real and authentic, and I don't really try to be anybody else but me. So I just was starting to laugh. I'm like, wow, people are taking me serious. Like, this is happening. Like, Socially Stuff, who thought she was a blogger, is now actually turning into a business.
Mm-hmm.
So, long story short, went in, did my presentation. This was on a Monday. And I also got my first brand partnership that same day with a watch company in Chicago. So that was super fun. Did some photographs for that afternoon. The evening is when I teach, you know, my group fitness class. So that Monday was very pivotal for me in my career and my life. It was actually the same day that my grandpa died, is the same day that my business was born.
Wow.
And this day is so powerful for me. Still sometimes Mondays are just such a struggle lately too. So as much as like hardship there is with that, there's such a blessing, because my grandfather was actually one of my biggest entrepreneurial and inspirational people in my life. And so it kind of has somewhat of meaning to it. And he always pushed me forward. He said something that I carry with me all the time is whatever you put your energy into is what you will succeed in.
Yeah.
So whatever you really, you know, put your energy into is what you're going to succeed with in life. And I have to say that has been 100% accurate in what I've been pursuing. And so I just do that. I lead with energy first and then strategy second. So that's what I carry along with me anytime I go into a presentation or to a client meeting or on a client phone call. And that really does the job. So I know I've been talking like so long. That's my story.
No, I love it. I love it. That's
thank you.
I knew that about your grandfather, and as just to kind of, you know, as a testament to what I was saying, that like I feel like I found some like a mirror copy of myself in Chicago. Like, I lost my grandfather in 2013, and I have to say he was definitely one of the most influential men and most supportive person I've ever had in my life. So I'm very sorry for your loss, but obviously both of our grandfathers are still with us and supporting us throughout these crazy ideas of ours.
Yes, and I'm very sorry for your loss as well, Samantha. And I have to say, my grandpa has guided me to a client that is a restaurant client actually here in Chicago and one of his favorites. And so it's interesting that this client is actually right across the street from the cemetery that he's at.
Wow.
And yeah, and so every time I go to this client in particular, I, you know, get stories thrown at me and memories, and it's really cool that I think she did it to me on purpose, though, I have to say, because I'm not a big, like, hot dog and beef type of girl. and he was always, you know, my grandfather was a big foodie. So he was a big Italian food guy. And he was always trying to be like, come on, Stephanie, like, can you just eat something with me? Like, you know, because I'm very health conscious and I'm in fitness, you know, so I am like you. I'm very into health and nutrition. And so I would always be like, Grandpa, no, that's not good for you. So it's interesting. I'm like, did he do this to me? He wants me to be around more beef sandwiches.
I love that. That's so funny. So can you kind of talk about some of the different types of things that you're doing for your clients? Like what do you really specialize in with Socially Steph?
Great question. So my business is a social media content management business. And so what I offer my clients is the actual content itself. So I do some light graphic design work on my own. I do plan to eventually have a graphic design intern or someone who can kind of specialize in that field. I have an eye for it, and I actually really enjoy it, but it does take up a lot of time, right? Mm-hmm. When I have all these clients and I'm doing specialized graphics for them. So I do create the content, and it's I pride my business on being very high quality and very unique. So every business, whether you're an individual, you know, you're a personal brand or you're an actual small business, you aren't really going to look anything like your competitors. What also comes within, you know, my services is copywriting, which is something that, you know, I have a really strong passion for is writing itself. So I do all of the copywriting and then the social media management piece, which is huge. You know, a lot of people and clients don't really understand social media enough quite yet. There's still a lot of lack of education, I would say. Mm-hmm. But the community management element is really engaging with your audience. And so customer service falls into that. Any kind of inbox messages, or I can spend at least 1 hour on one of my clients just responding back to people that are, you know, commenting on a post. So it, you know, it really all depends on the brand and kind of the package or the services that they're utilizing. If we're doing a lot more heavy advertising, then you might see an increase of, you know, volume of content or comments. So it really all depends, but that's full circle what Socially Steph is all about. I love working with different brands too for my own social media. So, you know, I've worked with a few different brands and partnered with them. I'm now with a yoga apparel company that I'm going to do some work for. And so that's fun for me. The challenge is I can't really solely focus on that part of the business right now, mm-hmm. because, I mean, I'm so busy serving other people and my clients. So I'm hoping eventually I will be able to kind of focus on Socially Steph a little bit more, like as a brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. When did you kind of discover your love for social media and for brand building and all that?
Well, so when I was in college, I actually took an internship at a fitness studio. And it's really odd. Both my parents are very entrepreneurial themselves, and so they've had their own businesses, and anytime, you know, they needed help with marketing or branding, I was kind of the go-to person. And same kind of thing happened when I was, so I was actually working at a fitness studio part-time, and then I took an internship at a different fitness studio, which was like around the block. But even the fitness studio I had been working at was asking for my help and kind of guidance and expertise on marketing. And it's weird to think back, but I'm like, geez, a lot of people were always coming to me about marketing. And so from there, I ended up getting my degree in communications, and I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do with that, because I was really, to be completely honest, running away very, very far, far away from math and science.
I hear that.
Yes, because originally I actually was going to school to be a teacher, and then I thought maybe I'll be a physical education teacher, or maybe I'll do kinesiology. But I felt like I might not ever get out of school if I study math.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just something that, you know, I decided to move ahead with. But I think it actually ended up working out in my favor. So it's funny how life works sometimes. But so did those internships, ended up helping. My family had a restaurant at the time called The Grotto, helped them out with their marketing. And from there, I landed a job at an agency downtown. And I was working on their largest manufacturing and healthcare clients. So they were global brands, and it was a great experience, but I don't really think it was like the type of lifestyle I really liked, because it was social media, digital marketing. I knew that there could be some more flexibility there, but it was that traditional 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I always struggled with in my whole career, was like I hated being somewhere stuck.
Right.
I hated, you know, feeling like I have to be at this place all day long. And so that was kind of like my driver to create my own business was, you know, I was battling that for years of like, can I just get one day to work remote?
Right.
You know, like I'm still going to do the work. I mean, I can recall I had a foot surgery done and I was out, you know, of the office for a month. And my social media performance was like at the highest that it was, because, you know, we did reporting and analytics, and it was like, see, working from home ain't so bad, right?
Exactly.
You know, I'm getting the work done. I mean, granted, I was kind of pinned to the bed because I had foot surgery, but still, it's the way of the world now is, you know, working remote, and if you can trust your employees to get the job done, it will get done. And I'm someone who is extremely dedicated to the work I create. And I am very disciplined, you know, with my clients, and I really want the best for them. You know, I just was always feeling like that was missing from my life, that freedom element.
I totally agree. I feel like I'm pretty much in that spot right now. I work full time for a hospital doing largely their social media, and there is no flexibility in healthcare, even if you're not a doctor. But yeah, and even to kind of touch upon something you said a little earlier, where a lot of people that are running businesses don't really understand social media. You can even look at the salaries that they're offering people to do social media. I know in the past when I was looking for prospective jobs, sometimes it would be they want a social media intern or they want to pay somebody $80,000 a year. It just really felt like there was no middle. It was like, we either want you to do this for free or we understand the value of it and we're going to pay you what it's worth.
100%. I can attest to that and say that in most of my career working for other people, that was something that I was always battling, is they didn't quite understand social media enough. And so being an expert, it was like I was hitting my head against the wall every single day, like, oh my gosh. And that is another reason why I had to build my own business, is because I was sick and tired of explaining myself as a social media expert. Like, you know,
why are you always on your phone?
Oh my God. That's a good one.
Right?
Yes, I got that a lot, you know, like I got that one a lot, you know, or someone would walk by your desk and wonder why you're always on your phone. It's like, well, let's just talk about that. Most of Instagram is run from your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I even had, this was years ago when like social media was still, it's still somewhat in its infancy, I would say, but like this was like back in 2013, 2014. I mean, I had someone approach me who was way, way high up in the company and wonder why I was on Facebook. I'm like, I am managing your highest paying client's Facebook.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it was like, it's interesting how it's actually pretty scary how some people who are either owning a business or, you know, are in the space and they still don't understand it, or even corporate level, you'll have a supervisor or a manager not even really understand the role of a social media person. So mm-hmm. how do they exactly manage that person?
Right.
So it can be very, very difficult. And yes, it becomes tiring, right? When people are like not understanding your job and you almost feel like you have to like explain it over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. So let's kind of talk about, so you quit your corporate job with nothing lined up. Can you kind of talk about what some of those fears were? And was everyone, like friends, family, supportive of this?
Let's see. Great question. Not everyone is really going to support anything you do. Mm-hmm. This is how, you know, my experience with things that I've mentioned to people or ideas. And at the end of the day, it's super vital for your own happiness to still go after the things that you truly believe in, regardless. So that was somewhat of a struggle, but whether or not they approved of it or agreed with it, it was really my life and my decision to make.
Right.
So I had to make that decision of, you know what, this is going to be scary because I didn't have anything lined up, and maybe it's less scary if you do have something lined up. I'm not really sure because my past two experiences, I didn't, you know, it was kind of like, I'm going to go for this now. Okay. You know, because I just feel like when you always know in the back of your mind that there are opportunities in the world, and with social media, I mean, kudos to social media and to LinkedIn. I'm a LinkedIn lover.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I have applied to like probably, I don't even know the number of amount of jobs I've just applied to because I was never really satisfied with where I was at. And now when I see someone email me a job about like a recruiter or something, I'm like, trash. Like, I will never go back. I will never go back to that side of, I hope not. I mean, not to say that this journey is easy at all, because there are times when I'm like, oh, wow, it would be way easier to just work for someone else right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that overall, I'm very excited and happy with, like, my new challenges and learning and meeting new people and being on my own time. And going back to your question, did people or, you know, family and friends support me? My fiancé, he was supportive. My dad was very supportive, but still, it really comes down to you're the person, like, living your life. So all the support could mean the world, right? But you have to support yourself.
Yeah.
So I could get everyone's approval. You know what I mean? And if I'm not going to say yes to myself and be my own cheerleader, really, I don't think it's going to work out in the end.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
It's belief. It's belief.
Absolutely.
In what you envision. And I strongly believe in believing, if that makes sense. Because it's actually ironic. My last name means believe in Italian.
Oh,
so
wow.
I don't know if I carry that for a certain purpose, but believing in yourself goes such a long way. And the reason why people are so successful is because they did believe in their ideas and their dreams and their visions, and they didn't let any opinion of, you know, what someone thought or anything get in their way.
Boom.
Because,
mic drop.
The most successful people, I mean, you have to think about it. I do think about this at times. The most successful people, they're just people like us, you know, and you don't think they ran into others who were judging them or thought, you know, assumptions about them or whatever it might be. Yes, that was all there. They have haters and people commenting negatively on them and judging them. But, you know, at the end of the day, they put that aside and they still believed in what they were doing.
Yeah.
So it can be really hard, you know.
Absolutely. And let's kind of talk about, you know, some of those hard things or some of the things that maybe you thought would be different than they actually are in this new entrepreneurial journey, like reality versus expectation?
Well, you know, I love social media. I think sometimes it can be a misconception for the younger generation, which I have a heart for them because I have younger siblings. So that's why I talk actually really a lot about followers and why you shouldn't care about followers. And it's really not the number that you should be chasing. Mm-hmm. There's more to social media. And I've been actually preaching this since like 2014 when Instagram was like not even really around. And because at the end of the day, you know, I would kind of have clients who were just so hung up with numbers and that's all they cared about. And that's not really what social media is about. It's about building relationships and connections and networking and building your brand and having a strong presence. And so that goes so much of a longer way than worrying about like how many followers you have at the end of the day. And I mean, someone could have 100,000 followers, but none of those followers are really actively doing anything or partaking in buying something from you versus mm-hmm. you could have 10 followers who are purchasing from you every single month. And that's how you're making, you know, your revenue.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, you know, having younger siblings, I think, has changed my mindset in terms of I feel for that generation. And there are so many things that you see specifically on Instagram that can just be so misperceived. You know, like, oh, this young person has 200,000 followers and they're sporting a really nice car and they're doing this and that. That doesn't really necessarily mean that they're doing anything successful and maybe they're calling themselves a public figure. You know, like, you got to be really careful about the way you're viewing social media. And I have such a passion and I would love to talk more about that in the future maybe, because I feel like it can really bog someone down. And, you know, that's just sad to me. I really feel like social media should be such a positive space and a community building space mm-hmm. that when I think about those things, it does actually somewhat break my heart because no one should feel that way.
I totally agree. And you can even really relate that to, you know, people trying to lose weight. Like they're so fixated on a number, but like, what does that number really mean? Like it can't really tell you, like on Facebook or on Instagram, like, yeah, you can have 10,000 followers, but if half of those followers are fake or half of those followers don't care about what you're talking about, it doesn't matter. It's completely irrelevant. Like you could be 140 pounds, but you could be all muscle. Like that doesn't matter. Like the number just mm-hmm. number. And maybe that's why we both hate math, because numbers don't matter.
Yeah, I'm not a big numbers person. It's actually funny, you know, I bought this Apple Watch, and guess what? The only thing I use on that Apple Watch is the stopwatch for my group fitness class, and my fiance thinks it's so funny because, you know, most people buy the Apple Watch because they can do everything on there, track every little bit in detail about your heart rate, your steps, your calories. I'm like, I don't even know how to use that, and I don't have time to track any more numbers on what I'm doing right now in my life. So, you know, I think that that's a really good tie-in, you know, and a good way of looking at it because, yeah, I mean, numbers matter in certain situations, but not always. And there are a lot of people that are just way too number obsessed.
Yep, I agree. You definitely want to build a following that cares about what you're saying, cares about if you're selling something, cares about what you're selling. You'd rather have those 10 diehards than those 10,000 robots, really.
Yes, and I have to say, sometimes I find that as much as I want to talk about followers don't matter, then there's like another part of me that's like, but they do. Like, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's like I get tripped up sometimes because, as you know, you're in the social media space yourself. On Instagram, in order to get that swipe up feature, you need 10,000 followers.
Right.
So, of course, like, I would love to have 10,000 followers so I could be having people link up to my blog or link up to sign up with me, you know? But at the same time, I mean, I'm getting more business than I need a swipe up feature.
Right.
So it's just kind of like knowing that it's not the end all be all if you don't have all of those features. And really, I do like to shine light on that you can easily and cheaply go buy your followers. And so even today, it's so easy to just look at someone's account and be like, oh, they have 80,000 followers. Cool. But I don't know. My mindset is just so changed on the whole thing. I don't really care too much how many followers people have because I don't know the behind the scenes of that. Now, if they right. truly built up their following, like, applause, right? That's amazing. I mean, it is. We both know hard of work it is to keep up with your content, be consistent. I do that for everyone else. I mean, I can barely do that for myself right now.
I can only imagine, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, applause and kudos to people who have organically and truly built up their following. I think it's really hard to do that. You probably have to go some paid approach. I mean, there's like nicer and better ways to do it, right? Than just purchasing followers. You can do advertisements, Facebook, you know, ads. But you know, I haven't really dabbled too much with the robotic ways on social media. I'm too scared.
Yeah, I
don't know.
I don't know either.
I've heard of people and clients. I'm like, if you want to buy your followers, give me $100.
Okay.
It's not easy.
Yeah, it really is. It's kind of a shame. But what about some of the things that you've learned so far? It's been less than a year in, right?
Yeah, 6 months, really.
That is so crazy. So I think social media has really made it very sexy and popular to be an entrepreneur and to work for yourself. But really, what are some of the realities that you are finding of this that maybe social media doesn't give the full picture?
Great question. I know we kind of touched on this prior to jumping on. Yes. I think, you know, a lot of things are glamorized and it's easy to do that, you know, on social media because, I mean, really, we show our highlights and our happiness and positive times, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right? Because who really wants to see all the negativity and the upsets of life? And, I mean, if you want to do that, go watch the news. That's why I don't watch the news. So, I mean, that's really why I don't turn on my TV. I don't watch the news, none of that. And it's interesting, I spoke to someone, to go off topic really quick, a couple months ago. They're like, you know, they were perceiving the world as so depressing and sad. And every time you turn on the news, I'm like, stop turning on the news. Mm-hmm. Like, there we go. We solved that problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you so, totally are what you consume and who you surround yourself with. That's totally
100%.
Real.
100%, yes. So, yes, I think it's easy to glamorize a lot of different things on social media, especially entrepreneurship, but there are a ton of hardships, and I don't, like I was saying to you, I wish I could show more of that. It's just, I don't know, would it look boring, or, I mean, really, my day is full of different things. Sometimes there are things of excitement. I mean, just a few weeks ago, I was in my new office space, and really, like, I had an awesome opportunity come my way from a tweet, and I don't want to share too many details right now because it's not fully in scope yet, but I literally jumped out of my desk. I was, like, so excited, so happy, you know, like, that could have been really cool to document, but then you didn't see, like, you know, maybe the day before where I was working all by myself, maybe feeling lonely and sad about, like, I have no, you know, coworker to talk to right now. And I am just glued to my computer and I work all day long. Like, I'm hoping after this podcast, I can make it to the gym for 20 minutes because I do this like 20 minute little workout sometimes when I don't have time. At least mm-hmm. you got to get something in, right?
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work, and I think that's what a lot of people maybe don't see, especially because I show little tidbits on my own social media, and so it might look like, is she even working? What is she doing? I'm so connected into my social media. I mean, my Instagram, I have like however many you can have at a time, 6 accounts or something on your Instagram. You know, like I have all my clients in there. I got my page. It's just, I'm always, always connected. And that's great, right? That's what I do. But at the same time, it also can really consume me to the point where I want to throw my phone down the toilet.
Yeah.
So, I think the struggles really are that when you're on your own, it could be very lonely and isolating. You know, like I try and get out to a coffee shop or I bounce around, which, again, no complaints because that's what I wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted that flexibility. But it can be really challenging when I'm handling everything on my own. So any kind of email that comes in an inquiry, which is happening more than I ever thought on the weekly. And then, you know, pricing, that was very difficult to put together. It still is. Another challenge is I'm doing all the work for my clients, so maintaining all of their accounts and making sure that they're happy with me, and then also going after new prospects that come in and trying to manage it all, putting a contract together to invoicing. I mean, I'm the one person doing all of this. So I kind of sometimes have to take a step back and say, you know, I won't be the one person doing this my entire life or else I will crumble. I mean, my business won't go on because that's too much for anyone to really handle.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, those are the real struggles that, you know, I'm not really documenting those online. And a lot of people aren't. They're not talking about, you know, their struggles or maybe they have family issues or maybe they have anxiety or whatever it might be. I mean, those are things that aren't really always discussed. I think a lot of people do discuss them, but they're not always there.
Right.
So no one ever really knows what anyone has been through in their life or is going through, or, you know, no one knows the reasons behind why someone is doing what they're doing. Another big struggle, and the last one I'll talk about, is the benefits, healthcare. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have it for a while. So I was feeling like I was getting some pains, like back pains, neck pains, and I didn't have health insurance to go see my chiropractor. Finally, I just did get my health insurance, which that's probably the biggest con, I would say, being on your own, is you have to pay for your own health insurance versus, you know, having the benefit. But I have to say, at my previous company, I had, you know, what many people would probably want, everything under the sun. And, you know, when you're talking about material things, if that matters, you know, I had a new cell phone. So I was walking around with two cell phones. How cool is that? You know, like I had, you know, and people would look at me like, wow, why does this girl have two cell phones? I had a credit card. I got to go to some events, you know, through the advertising committee that I was on there. What else did I get? You know, the perks of healthcare insurance and all of that. So a new Mac laptop, you know, brand new air. Like all those things are what get people to stay, I feel sometimes, or get people hooked, is those material things. But whether it's in business or in life, material things, I don't know, they never really impress me that much. I like to have nice things, but, you know, your happiness at the end of the day is really what matters. So was I going to stay somewhere because I got a brand new cell phone, brand new, you know, Mac Air and a credit card to spend things on when I was traveling for work? And all those things sound really, you know, like impressive, right? You know, I think when you really look at what you want in life, those things just don't matter.
Yeah. So we kind of touched upon it, but you said that, you know, you're connected to social media like 24/7. How do you manage that? I mean, I love social media, but it definitely gets to a point where I'm like, okay, maybe I'm addicted, so I need to kind of disconnect. Do you find it necessary, and can you disconnect?
Wow, this is great. So yes, I 100% find it necessary. For me personally, I'm like you probably in the sense that I love social media. So when I'm doing anything like putting an Instagram story up, I find it fun. Mm-hmm. It's like creative to me. I really enjoy it. I was actually just thinking about this the other night. You know what's fun is, like, Instagram has really made life more meaningful in many ways. And I was talking to my fiance about this. We ran a race downtown Chicago a few months ago, and I was like, wow, look at that. I pointed over to these people. They were in the, they were jumping around in the leaves, throwing the leaves up, you know, trying to take photos. I said, how amazing that social media has created people to document stuff like this. I mean, who would, years ago, Samantha, who would really be taking pictures of themselves throwing leaves up in the air?
Probably, I mean, no one.
to me, like, some people might look at that and say, wow, that's so silly, or oh my God, they're trying to be Instagram famous, or, you know, what are they doing over there? To me, I honestly perceive that as, wow, these people are, like, enjoying nature and life and leaves, and, like, that's beautiful. I literally was like, I kind of, it was like an instant, just, wow, this is what social media has created for people. They're documenting things that they probably would never think to even look at. Mm. You know, it's actually, it could be a very beautiful thing. At the same time, social media can be very, you know, it could bog your mind down. Yeah. It could be too much. And I sometimes, you know, because my business is built around social media, I go through different phases. I'm like, oh my God, you know, why did I just not do my fitness class thing and just stick with that? You know, like, I go through ups and downs because it can be overwhelming. I think it's a beautiful space to be in. I mean, I love social media. I've been in this industry since before 2010. I think it does amazing and powerful things for brands and businesses to be able to showcase yourself in a different way. It's amazing. At the same time, I really, again, I have empathy for people who aren't really using it for business and, you know, other reasons, like building a brand, who are just using it for personal reasons, because that can be, I feel, overwhelming for those people at times. And the way I disconnect is I try, which I've been very bad, I try and tell myself, you can't be on your phone past like 9 or 10 p.m. But I've been breaking that rule for so, so long, and I'm up till like 1 a.m.
Oh, my God.
So I know. You know what? It's,
I'm a
really
grandma.
Good because, you know, I'm a grandma, too, at heart, I have to say. But I'm so dedicated to, like, my work, and so I guess I'm just so invested that, like, I'm so interested in learning more and more and more, and I love what I'm doing, that my mind is racing so much, and I go through, like, different moments of sometimes I'm like, okay, you need a break, and then sometimes I'm just so glued into it all. But I do know the importance of, you need that balance 100%. I mean, 1,000%, you need that balance, and if that's, you know, turning your phone off for an hour, or not checking your phone in the morning one day and making a habit of that, or going to a yoga class and kind of, you know, getting some more stillness there and grounding and being more present. I definitely think it's important, you know, for everybody, no matter your age or if it's your profession or not. But it can be hard to find. I don't know why I did this, but you can set on Instagram like a reminder, you know, like if you're on it for too long, you can put a timer on there.
I have those too.
and I did it, like, I just thought it was playing around, and I set my timer for 1 hour. And so then for every single day, Samantha, I would be getting this alert, like, you've been on Instagram for an hour. I'm like, no crap, I got like 5 more hours to go. Like, I'll be on here all day, Instagram. I don't know what you're trying to tell me. I mean, I'm the one who set that timer. And finally, it was, like, just a couple days ago, I'm like, what am I doing with this timer? I'm a social media manager. Like, there's no way ever that 1 hour will be sufficient enough to get my work done.
I know. That's so funny. I set those alarms. So I set it for, like, all social media. And I was like, I'm going to set it for 2 hours because that's, like, an aggressive amount of time. There's no way I'm on social media for 2 hours. Yep, I'm on social media for 2 hours every day.
I won't even tell you how long I'm on it. But another thing that I would definitely say, I do this, and I don't know, I would recommend everybody in the world do this, really, is to turn your push notifications off.
Yes.
Because, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to receive notifications of who liked my thing, who commented, who followed me.
I hate it. I keep it all off.
So, I don't know. I mean, some people like that. They like the the constant alerts and stuff. I don't. I think that's very, like, too much. It can create anxiety, I feel, in some people. And for me personally, you know, I don't know. I go on my phone for the reasons I want to go on it, and I don't really need all these different pop-ups and things. So even the accounts I work on, I'm like, notifications all off. And I'm the manager of the account, but I don't really need to receive all these notifications because I respond no matter what, really, within a 72-hour window. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just like being disciplined.
I agree.
And that's what it really comes down to is, you know, if you find yourself, it's being in tune with yourself, too. And this can go back to health and nutrition and fitness, but being in tune with yourself and saying, like, wow, I was really irritable and kind of moody and not myself for some reason today. Well, why was that? You know, was it because I was on social media too long? Or, you know, that's just an example. It could be something else in your day, but kind of just like assessing in your life, where are you spending too much time and where can you always be reevaluating that? Because even myself, I'm learning, like, I don't want to be up till 1 in the morning and feeling tired the next day, or, you know, it's always just trying to create new habits.
Yes. So I have two last questions for you.
Okay.
They're a little more maybe fun. So what are some of your, if you have any, favorite social media brands or brands that you, like, have a crush on? You're like, oh, yeah, they are so good.
Oh, that's a good one. And I have to, like, kind of open my app right now, I feel, like my Instagram app, and look around, because I guess I can't think of them off the top of my head. I mean, I know I love, like, what is it, the Every Girl and Girl Boss and all of those accounts, like what they're doing and creating. I love that kind of content. I dig the, like, illustrations and the fun colors, and mm-hmm. I've always been into that type of stuff. I'm a big sticker girl. Like, I'm sure you've seen my planner all over Instagram, but I love, it's just filled with stickers, and I'm really an artsy type of person as well. So growing up, I did scrapbooking and I did all of that stuff. And so to me, Instagram is like a digital scrapbook, especially with the gifts. Like when those gifts rolled out, I was like, hallelujah, yes. Like, yay, like I loved it. Like, oh my God, give me more. You know, like at first it was like a few. I'm like, bring on the gifts. Like, give me way more than this. Come on. You know, so I have fun with those. Like, you know, and that's what I mean. So, like, social media to me is a fun space. And really quick note, so those are some of my brands, but I remember, like, the last company I worked for, they were, like, anti-gifts and emojis, and it, like, was, like, a knife to my heart, you know? Mm. So I was like, oh, I can't do that, you know? So I really strongly love, I think you know what I'm talking about. Like, the brands that,
There's one that I'm super into. It's like Positively Something, but they're like doodles with really inspirational, like, mental health, self-care type quotes. And then the Boss Babe. I think we both follow, like, the Ambition Plan or something like that.
Yes, I love all of that. I'm a big quote junkie. Love my quotes. And so, yeah.
So I guess
anything like that, I dig.
If someone is looking to kind of build their personal brand on social media, what would you say is, like, your number one tip for that?
Be yourself.
Yeah.
That would be my number one. Because it's so easy, right, to go and look. I hate that we're always referring to Instagram, but I guess that's, you know, the main platform here that's, you know, very visual, it's very creative, and people really share themselves there. So being yourself, I think, is just, there's something powerful there, right? Because really, at the end of the day, only you can be you. And so if you're trying to replicate what someone else is doing, most likely it's not really going to translate well. Mm-hmm. It's great to like get inspiration and ideas from people, but really, you know, I kind of look at it as that person is being them, and you can dig that all you want, but you're going to shine brightest when you're actually being your most authentic and your most, your best self is forward. You know what I mean? So yeah. I actually even go into presentations and I have a specific slide that says, you know, I pride myself and socially stuff on authenticity, compassion, and really I'm very honest. I'm kind of a realist in many ways. I kind of tell it how it is a lot of the times, most of the time actually. So you know, it could be a good thing and also a bad thing, but I'm just an honest person. And so I definitely would say the top thing is be yourself and be unique and be creative. I mean, it's so easy to be like, oh, what's so-and-so or Aunt Sally going to think of this if I post it? Like, who cares? Because you have to really live what your purpose is. And your purpose is so different than the person next to you. And it's hard, right? You see people on social media, especially on Instagram, and there's some awesome accounts out there. I mean, I run into them all day long, and it's like, you know, you sometimes wonder like, oh wow, they're so creative and they're doing this and they have this graphic arts team, you know, on hand and they're doing all this stuff. But at the end of the day, like, you are where you are at right now in your life, and like, you just have to rock that versus trying to be what someone else is doing.
Yes. I love that.
I mean, what do you think? Because you're in social media, what would you say is, like, what would be your number one tip for brand building?
I would definitely have to agree with you with authenticity. And then, I mean, to kind of stem off of that, you really need to use social media not as, like, a portfolio. It needs to really be, like, a community. You need to respond to people. You need to... And you talk about this all the time too. It's social media. You need to be social. You can't just expect people to be social on your page. Like, you have to put in the work. If you want to grow your following, if you want to grow your brand, you have to do your work and you have to comment on other people's photos. You have to like other people's photos. You have to create a community.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, because I know I just did that poll and it was like, what's more valuable, a like or a comment? And so many people said comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, great. I'm glad. And, you know, I don't really keep track of who says what. But it's like, if a percentage of you or a larger percentage of you are saying comment, well, if you want comments, you need to comment on other people's stuff yourself. Because yeah. In order to, you know, get back, you have to give. So it's really putting, you know, that perspective into place and saying, oh, yeah, that's right. If I want, you know, so-and-so to be more social with me, well, then I have to actually put the work and time into being more social with them. It's like any relationship.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, exactly. So that's a really, really good one and a great reminder.
I would love for you to share where people can find you, where they can interact with you, your social media handles, all that, because I think this interview was so, so valuable, not only for, you know, in people that are interested in becoming, you know, entrepreneurs or working for themselves, but even just people, you know, trying to build a brand or just trying to build their own personal self-confidence. I think you gave a lot of really wonderful nuggets of advice.
Thank you. And I'm so glad that I was able to be on this podcast, because like you said from the beginning, you know, we have so much in common. And so this was a really exciting opportunity for me. And I was looking forward to it all week.
Yay.
But yeah, so people who are interested in connecting with me and getting social, they can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Socially Steph. So just like it sounds, socially, and then my name, STEPH. my website again is also sociallystuff.com. So made it really easy for everybody,
yeah,
right?
Easy enough. Perfect. Thank you so much to Stephanie for joining me on this episode of the Strong Girl Podcast. I hope you got a lot out of that. We touched upon a lot. This was my longest episode to date, and I think it was chock full with some awesome information. So if you got some value out of today's podcast, please, please, please share it with your friends. That is the only way to help the Strong Girl Podcast grow. So share it on Facebook, share it on your Instagram stories, and tag me and Stephanie. And I will definitely be sure to link all of her information in the show notes. She posts a ton of useful tips if you're looking to build your social media brand, if you work in marketing, if you work in social media, or if you're trying to promote, you know, your own personal brand. She's an amazing, amazing person to follow. I will be back next week with another episode of the Strong Girl Podcast, and you can always connect with me on my social media on Instagram at Samantha L. Russo. You can find me on Facebook, and you can check out my website, www.samanthalrusso.com. I am still hosting signups for my free 3-week fitness and nutrition program. It is called Sweat Like Sam, so definitely you want to check that out. The link is in my Instagram bio, and it is on my website, samanthalrusso.com/sweat. I want to help you kick off 2019, make it the best year ever, and help you reach those health and fitness goals.